Blue Jays have won 7 straight games. They've won 10 of 11 since the Victor Reyes pinch hit inside the park home run, which I think in a lot of respects was rock bottom. There were a lot of tough moments, from the middle of August, basically until this streak started, but that seemed to be really tough. And then ever since, it's only been 5 days since that game against Oakland, where they were down 8-2 and ended up winning. It's just all snowballing right now in the best possible way. And we are going to take your text, 590-590, your name and your location. I'm Josh Goldberg. Jays Talk's brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. And before we get to your text, Drew Fairservice joins me now, host of the Athletics podcast, Blue Jays podcast, Spin Rate with Caitlin McGrath. And Drew, appreciate the time as always. I guess, how shocked are you that when the season looked like it was, there was a DNR on the season, basically, that they have been resuscitated, somebody performed mouth-to-mouth or CPR or whatever, and they've won 10 of 11. How surprised are you?
Maybe not surprised, but they've done it in a really kind of backwards way. There were so many of those games that we were circling on the schedule, saying, these are the soft spots. They've got to be able to go in there and really handle the Washington Nationals, and they've got this series against Detroit and all these other kind of bottom feeder teams, and they didn't really put the boots on the neck, so to speak, in that softer part of the schedule. So it was this is when they needed to make hay, and they haven't really done it. And then suddenly here they are in tough against Oakland, against New York, and they're playing the best baseball of the season, and obviously winning 7 games in a row. They look the part. They look the part of the team that has whatever, a plus 150 run differential. They look the part of the team with some of the best starting pitching in the whole league at this point, and also one of the best offenses. It's sort of we so many of us, I'm sure, and I know that you've been doing it as well, kind of preaching the value of that. This is obviously a good team, and we're finally sort of seeing it play out without the weird diving plays in center field by a guy who's not a center fielder, or weird bullpen meltdowns. They definitely, as I just said, I think they're finally starting to look the part. So unexpected, of course. You never expect to win 7 games in a row, but again, it's another hallmark of a good team, which I don't think anyone could really argue that's what the Blue Jays are.
So you never know how things are going to go in the late stages of a close ball game. And for a large stretch of this season, really most of the season until a couple of weeks ago, late and close offensive situations were a real problem for this ball club. The numbers just kind of dried up. And league-wide, it's tough to hit power pitchers and really good relievers in late and close situations. But it does seem like the dam has burst here a little bit, obviously during this streak and over the last couple of weeks. And they scored a single run in each of the 7th, 8th, and 9th. Have you seen anything different from them? Or is this just a case of a talented offensive team and maybe, some better luck and just, regression to the mean in a positive sense occurring at a really opportune time?
I think there's a bit of regression to the mean, just in terms of the offense being itself during those high leverage times. We talked about the design flaw. That's kind of the term that I used often. When you look at the lineup and the way it's constructed, when you've got guys like Bo Bichette and Lourdes Gurriel Jr. and Teoscar Hernandez, who are all very similar style, right? Even Marcus Semien, to an extent, very similar, hyper-aggressive right-handed hitters who are, often vulnerable against that kind of elite right-handed reliever model, the guys that the Rays seem to grow in a field up behind Tropicana Field. But the biggest thing, I think, is not just the volume of timely hits, it's that they are hitting home runs again. I think, you see the obviously the huge comeback against Oakland, even tonight, that one of the tack-on runs comes in the form of a Vladimir Guerrero Jr. bullet home run. Home runs are what this entire offense is predicated upon. And when they are able to hit home runs, even into the late games, it just makes up for so many more errors. It just kind of covers up the other shortcomings. So while maybe when they weren't hitting home runs, they need to get not just one or two timely hits, get somebody on and then try to get them over. Once the ball goes over the fence, you're already way ahead of the game. So I think that the return of the ability for them to hit the ball over the fence at all times of the game, when they were really struggling and weren't scoring, that was really it. That was the main culprit. They weren't hitting home runs. Now they are. offense is flying and they're picking up the wins.
Drew Fairservice is with me. So, you know, I think as long as George Springer's not in the lineup and maybe he's back tomorrow, maybe he's back sometime in Baltimore, it's hard to know, you know, what the timetable there is. But the leadoff spot appears to just be, like, you know, Corey Dickerson against a righty is not the worst situation in the world, but, like, George Springer was the leadoff hitter for this team. That was what they envisioned. So you're definitely left with quite a chasm there. Like, what do you think that the best case scenario is for you? Like, who do you think emerges? Like, how do they figure out if Springer's going to miss a prolonged period of time, how to tinker with the order and put somebody consistent in the leadoff spot without disrupting Simeon, Vladdy? And I know Bo's struggling a little bit, but he just came off a really good stretch where he's on a hitting streak, and Teoscar as well.
It's tough because, you know, the Blue Jays don't have what we used to consider like a prototype leadoff guy. And even what you look at the lineup now, they don't have, other than anyone who's particularly interested in drawing a walk, which, again, it's not who they are. It's not in their DNA. So that sort of patient guy at the top of the order who's going to see a lot of pitches and then maybe work his way on by being one of your best hitters as well as being one of the most patient, they don't really have that player. So I think a lot of it has to come down to comfort. Again, and while I've advocated the idea of Vlad hitting second, for example, because he's your best hitter, you know, soup to nuts, right? He's the best hitter at all aspects of hitting. You should ideally be able to hit him anywhere. And that needs to be the entire premise of the batting order, is how can we optimize? How can we make the most out of having Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in our batting order? We need to have either people for him to drive in or people to drive him in when he gets on base, because he does it so often. But if Vlad is most comfortable and hitting his best in the third spot, then leave him there. And if Marcus Simeon is most comfortable in second, and you're then able to capitalize on his hot streak, on his ability to A, get on base, B, driven in by Vlad, but also take care of business when he comes up, then leave him there. I mean, you know, maybe Bo Bichette is a good opportunity up there. Again, he's a hyper-aggressive hitter, a guy who is prone to battles, fouls off a ton of pitches, so maybe he's a good hitter to slot and lead off spot. But, I mean, I think at the end of the day, you're really just trying to work around Vlad and then, you know, Simeon and Teoscar Hernandez as well as another guy. Again, a guy who's got a bit of speed, who stole a base tonight, who could maybe slot up there into that spot up there. I really think it's just about comfort, though. So there's no, like, there's no immediate candidate, but just about any of those guys. And if anyone's willing to do it, let them go. That kind of is my attitude at this point. They don't mess around too much. They've won 7 games in a row. So, like, let it ride.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you completely. Before we let you go, you know, third base has been an issue all season. We've been talking about it all year. It's just been a problem that just hasn't really been solved. And, you know, like, Kevin Smith hasn't worked out. It doesn't look like he's quite there yet to be a major league ball player. Like, Jake Lamb, Breivik Valera, you know, Espinal and Biggio are still hurt, and who knows if they're going to factor back in. Like, do you roll with Jake Lamb pretty consistently against right-handed pitching and then, you know, figure out whether it's Smith or Valera against lefties going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you have much in the way of options. Jake Lamb is going to give you a left-handed bat. I mean, that's like his number one value proposition, is that his right hand is at the bottom of the bat when he's standing up there. I would say he's probably going to give you some better quality at bats than Kevin Smith right now. Again, not to say that Kevin Smith won't have a productive and long major league career, but he looks the part of a guy like right now who is realizing the significant gulf, greater now than almost it's ever been before, between AAA and the big leagues. And then, you know, Breivik Valera has turned in some decent at-bats. He doesn't have really a lot to offer at the plate. You know, I think it's just a matter of defense. I've definitely been in favor of letting Santiago Espinal play third base when he's healthy, because he is such a good defender. And it's often, you know, what the team really seems to need is that really solid or above average presence at third base. So failing that, I don't see a problem with running with Jake Lamb. And then working in Valera or Smith as you see fit, and if Lamb is not really giving you anything, then, you know, go back to the well and see what you can get with the other two. So yeah, it is a bit of it's something that they will definitely need to address in the offseason. Again, if in a perfect world with the perfect version of Kevin Biggio that everybody has in their head, as opposed to the one that turns up on the field more often than not, that's a great solution. But in the meantime, I think, yeah, just kind of run with what you got and hope that that maybe you can get 40 good Jake Lamb at bats in a row, and off you go.
Great stuff. As always, appreciate the time, staying up a little bit late for us, and hope to do it again soon.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Drew Fairservice, host of Spin Rate, the Athletics Blue Jays podcast. Good stuff, as always. 590, 590, please ignite the text line. Let's get them. 7 in a row, 10 of 11. First time they've won 7 in a row since July of 2016. It's really hard to win a lot of ball games in a row across different series, across different teams. There's a lot of variance in Major League Baseball, a lot of unpredictability. And to play consistently good baseball for an 11-game stretch now where you've won 10 of 11 and 7 straight, I think after that pinch hit inside the park home run by Victor Reyes late August, I believe the Blue Jays were 9.5 games back of the New York Yankees, and they're a game and a half back a couple weeks later. So it's happened fast and furious. I think a lot of people hoped and were hoping, thinking in the back of their mind at some point this version of this club would emerge. But you know, it didn't look likely a couple of days ago, and lo and behold, here they are playing their best baseball of the season in September. It's a real sight to behold. 590, 590. We'll get to some text straight ahead. Get some post-game reaction as well. I'm Josh Goldberg. It's Jays Talk. Jays have won 7 in a row. They take it 6-3 over the Yankees. Brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. It's a Sportsnet Radio Network. Jays Talk's brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Josh Goldberg with you for another handful of minutes here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. 590, 590, text us your name and your location. Let's get to it. Tim in Vancouver. So awesome to see this heater of a run just at the right time. Bullpen finally coming together. Gotta say, Simber was such an underrated pickup. So is Trevor Richards, man. I know Rowdy Tellez has had some really nice moments, and good for Rowdy. Love to see that Milwaukee. It just wasn't working here, and it was a good situation for both sides to make a deal. Richards has been money in the bank. He's had 3 tough outings and has given up 6 runs across those 3 outings. And otherwise, he's given up a couple of runs, 2 or 3 runs, the rest of his Blue Jays tenure. And he was acquired here, you know, early in July and has basically pitched high leverage in every outing. Like, sometimes he may come in the 6th, but it's a lot of times in the 7th, sometimes in the 8th. And he's faced a lot of good hitters. That changeup is absolutely nasty. Got Gary Sanchez tonight on a really good changeup. When it's going great, it's a really, really difficult pitch to hit. You look at the numbers on the year. He's got a 3.36 ERA. Simber, you know, a lot of people, myself included, were wondering, how's it going to go against the meat of the order? Gallo included. I know Gallo's been scuffling in a big way since that trade. Strikes out 3 of his 4 outs were recorded via strikeout and a couple of hits. Nothing major in terms of hard contact. He's got a 2.36 ERA, and Jordan Romano does the job. Bing, bang, boom. He's got 16 saves. Bullpen suddenly looks much better. Like, they've had some rough moments at points during this win streak. Obviously, Oakland comes to mind. But you got to feel really good about Romano, Mesa, the 2 guys I mentioned, Richards and Simber. Nate Pearson looked really good. We haven't seen him since Sunday. What Julian Merriweather is the... I have no idea when we're going to see him, how he's going to be deployed, how he's going to look, but maybe it works out. Everything's coming up Blue Jays right now, so maybe Julian Merriweather will pitch well and stay healthy and add a weapon to the bullpen. Lot to like when it comes to the bullpen right now. It's still probably the area that makes you feel the most queasy, but you feel a lot less queasy about it now than you did a couple of weeks ago. And obviously the rotation, I didn't think Alek Manoah was great tonight. You know, there were some questionable pitch selections. You know, he threw a changeup in a spot and in a full count situation. I thought there was maybe a bit of nibbling to Brett Gardner, and then he really grooved a full count heater that got pounded. But yeah, he battled, almost gave them 6 innings, almost a quality start. And you got to respect that from a rookie in a big spot at Yankee Stadium. So if that's as bad of a start as we've seen from Alek Manoah in a while, or just, you know, as much as he's grinded in a while, you're doing pretty well for yourself if that's the case. 590, 590, your name and your location. And We got one from Nick in Windsor. Simple, to the point. The boys are hot. Fire emoji. Yes, they are. George from Caledonia. I hope Merriweather and maybe Pearson could get some work tomorrow. Yeah, like, I'll be the first to tell you, the fact that they're going for a four-game sweep tomorrow, I know the Yankees have lost 9 of 11. They're scuffling in a big way. That's pretty incredible. On the road against a division rival, a team you're directly chasing somewhat in the standings, to be in position to sweep a four-game series on the road. They haven't done it in New York since 2015. There's a reason it doesn't happen very often. Maybe they don't do it tomorrow. But even if they don't, and you take 3 out of 4, don't let anyone tell you that that's not a success. I understand you want to go for the jugular right now, and you'll be a little bit disappointed. But worst case scenario is you're gaining 2 games in the standings on the Yankees. And that is pretty, pretty good on the road. You got 3 more against them. You got a lot of winnable games against Baltimore and Minnesota. If you can continue playing good baseball, we talked about, well, you got to take care of your own business and get help. The last couple of days, both things have happened. I think it was like 14 straight games involving teams around the Blue Jays, including themselves, went their way. So they were on an incredible stretch of not just taking care of business, but also getting help. So now, like, obviously you still don't totally control your own destiny because you still got ground to make up, but you at least have afforded yourself a loss or two here down the stretch that maybe you couldn't have afforded 3, 4, 5 days ago. So you want to keep your pedal to the metal and continue taking care of your own business, but it's much less dire than it was even on Friday and Saturday. And it's honestly dumbfounding that they have been able to close the gap this quickly and this prodigiously. Like, they're beating teams pretty handily right now. Like, there's not a lot of, I know that tonight was a little bit more tense, but they pulled away, and then it was pretty academic after they took the lead again. There weren't that many tense moments. Like, I know Simber pitched out of trouble a little bit, but I felt pretty comfortable with the state of affairs once they took that lead that they were going to get the win. And I think it speaks to just the snowball effect of playing good baseball and riding momentum. And finally, after 5 months, at the most opportune, exact, perfect time, the Blue Jays are finally riding some momentum. Brandon Woodstock, is the Merriweather news today bigger than the Jays winning again against the clearly slumping Yankees? No, because do you know what Julian Merriweather is going to look like? Do you know how healthy he's going to be, how he's going to feel? Winning a game, I don't care if the Yankees are slumping. They're still ahead of you in the standings, and you've secured a series win over a team ahead of you in the division and obviously more pertinent ahead of you in the wildcard standings. That's the bigger news. Julian Merriweather is the great unknown. Whatever happens, happens. But I'm not really counting on him to be a huge difference maker down the stretch. If he is, that's gravy. And you take that and run with it. More text, 590-590, your name and your location. Maddie in Toronto, appreciate it as always. Never quit. Even Dyson making the Ben Revere-like play to end the game, they're in the race now, Jays fans. I got to say, it's still weird seeing Jerrod Dyson wearing a Blue Jays uniform because he's just so closely to me, and I think I'm sure a lot of Blue Jays fans of a similar ilk, affiliated with that fit 2015 Royals team, and that was impossible to not hate that team if you like the Blue Jays. But he's endeared himself, right? He scored. I thought really nice job by Charlie Montoyo. Quickly pinch hitting, pinch running rather, Dyson for Lourdes there after the leadoff triple in the top of the eighth inning. And Jake Lamb, nice at bat. I know he hasn't been rewarded with hits or anything of that sort, but a nice at bat and a nice sack fly to bring in a run. So hats off to Charlie Montoyo. We've taken him to the woodshed a number of times on some questionable decisions. I thought he did a nice job top to bottom tonight, pushing all the right buttons. We'll get more of your text straight ahead. 590, 590, as always, your name and your location. I'm Josh Goldberg. Jays have won 7 straight. Go for the series sweep tomorrow. Jays Talks brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. It's the Sportsnet Radio Network. Josh Goldberg here in Toronto. Blue Jays have won 7 straight baseball games. First time they've done that since July of 2016. They have also won 10 of 11. They are a game and a half back of the New York Yankees and 2 games back of suddenly the first place in the wild card, Boston Red Sox, who picked up a 2-1 win over the Tampa Bay Rays tonight. Jose Berríos and Nestor Cortes Jr. in the finale tomorrow as the Jays go for the sweep. We'll get more of your texts. 590-590 as always. Appreciate your name and your location. We will get to some straight ahead. Teoscar Hernandez drove in the eventual game-winning run with an opposite field RBI single in the top of the seventh inning. Spoke on the field with Sportsnet's Arash Madani following this ballgame. So let's hear what they had to say.
What has gotten into this baseball team?
I mean, you know, this is what we're made for. I mean, obviously, we're always going to make push in this race, and we're going to go out there. We're going to just battle like we've been doing for the last 2-3 weeks, and we're gonna try to win as many games that we can and keep going until the season ends.
I mean, that's what's been so impressive about this, you know, the Detroit series, that disappointing loss on the Friday, and since then this team has, it just seems like you've been on a mission. What's changed? What's flipped? What's going on?
What changed is everybody's healthy. I mean, Springer has been battling with injury knee, but when he's not one guy today, is another one. And next day is a different guy, and the other day is a different guy. That's what makes this team so special.
After the series sweep of Oakland, Buck and Tabby all week have been saying this is a statement series. Come into New York, face the Yankees. This is a statement series. Winning this with a game left. What kind of statement has this team made this week?
Oh, if we win tomorrow, obviously we're gonna make not gonna make us easier on them, but we're gonna try tomorrow and go for the fourth win and try to go for the sweep. That's pretty special. It's gonna put us in a good spot, and we're gonna keep going after this.
There you have it, Teoscar Hernandez, who drove in his 93rd run of the season very quietly. He missed a little bit of time, right, with the COVID IL, but he's got 25 home runs. He's knocked in 93. He's got an almost 850 OPS. He's hitting 292. Could get to 30 home runs. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe, let's say he hits 28, drives in 100-plus runs. Really, really a monster year, a quiet monster year. And that's kind of his MO. He's a quiet star. I will call him a star. I will call Teoscar Hernandez a star. He's not a super duper star. He's not a franchise player, but he's a star caliber offensive player now. And just an absolute presence for the Blue Jays in the middle of that order. Carson and Markham, is there anything better than hearing the moans and groans from Yankee Stadium after every ball Chapman threw? Just beautiful music to my ears. Yeah, coupled with, we could hear it there as Arash and Teoscar were talking. New York after losses. We talked about this last night. Just that's a real elixir for me these days. The Yankees scuffling and playing the same song that they would play after wins. You can't script it any better. Dave from Gravenhurst, before it seemed like they were missing the killer instinct, now the opposite is the case. Great to see these guys firing on all cylinders. Yeah, it really is. And you know, they got a big game tomorrow, and then they got four doubleheader on Saturday against the Baltimore Orioles, who have been hitting a little bit of late. You still got to take care of business against the Baltimore Orioles. There's no lulls here. You can't have a letdown. You got to keep your pedal to the metal here in a big way and take care of business against a team like the Baltimore Orioles. One more. We're going to hear from Adam Simber here in a moment. Nadeem and Whitby, regardless of what happens now, we should be thankful for meaningful ball in September. They are a young team, and this experience is going to make them even better next season and beyond. No question. Like, whether they make the playoffs or not, it's always good to get these reps in pennant chase situations in September. But you got to be looking now. You're two games, a game and a half back of a wild card spot. You got to like where you're at. So I think at this point it would be a disappointment if they don't make the playoffs considering this run, but nonetheless, this year won't be looked at as some failure. I think, you know, a lot of successful things have happened here. It's will be incumbent to continue the development and continue obviously supplementing the roster, whether that's re-signing Robbie Ray and Marcus Semien, trades, other free agent moves, but we're certainly on a real upward trajectory here for this Blue Jays team. I mentioned Adam Simber. Let's hear what he had to say after another one and a third of really good relief work.
Hey, Adam, with some of your success lately and the strikeouts today, what's something you really like about what you're doing, something that's really working for you?
I'm just trusting it. Defense is making plays behind me, and it's easy to trust your stuff when you got guys behind you that you know are going to get your outs. So that's all I got right now. God's good.
What have you seen from this bigger group and the guys around you out there?
From a bullpen standpoint?
Yeah, from the bullpen.
Yeah, I think everybody's just understanding where we're at and knowing that if we're going to do this thing, we gotta be all in as a bullpen down there. And I think we definitely are. We're having fun down there early in the game. And then when it's our time to start getting the phone ringing, it's focused up time. So I think we're just all kind of locked in right now and excited for this push.
You guys have now won 7 in a row. Can you just like talk about what the kind of environment is like in the clubhouse right now, what the feel and the vibe is around the team?
Yeah, I think that it's very relaxed, surprisingly relaxed. Everybody's having fun. I think a couple weeks ago when we were grinding a little bit, it was a little bit more of guys pressing from every standpoint. Now it just seems like everybody's having fun. We're just kind of letting loose and whatever happens, happens. And I think we're just enjoying ourselves.
Everyone in baseball always talks about sort of meaningful September baseball, and you guys are perfect through September. You're obviously taking full advantage of these meaningful games and trying to control your own destiny. Did something like click for this team when the calendar turned? Like, can you kind of put into words, you know, what's been happening this month and how you guys have been so locked in these last 7 games?
Baseball's weird. It's tough to put your finger on anything, but like I said, it seems like we're just sort of letting it play and having fun with it. I'm not pressing too hard and just kind of coming together as a good, fun group of guys having fun together.
I'll just sneak one more in. I mean, when you yourself are pitching in these big spots in these big situations, I mean, how fun is it to be out there in these big spots in these big games for you?
It's a blessing. I'm just thankful to be out there and getting trusted with those spots. And it's pretty cool to do it in New York. It's a fun place to play. And it's obviously, as a kid growing up watching games at Yankee Stadium, when you're actually out there playing, it's a little bit like surreal. So it's been fun.
There you have it. Adam Simber, 1 1/3, 3 strikeouts as another nice job, picks up his 6th hold of the season. Garrett Richards is 6-2. Jordan Romano with his 16th save of the season. Blue Jays are 76-62. Yankees are 78-61. They're 1 back in the loss column, game and a half back in the standings. 2 games back of Boston, who picked up a big win over the Tampa Bay Rays, and obviously go for the series sweep tomorrow afternoon. DB in London going for a 4-game sweep in New York in September. Man, it doesn't get much better than this. Yeah, it's something we haven't said they've been able to do since 2015, so let that sink in. Big one tomorrow. Jose Berríos, Nestor Cortes Jr. You have been listening to Blue Jays Baseball, powered by Jack Links. Send hunger down to the minors and feed your wild tide. As always, thanks to Tom Young, Ben Wagner, J.R. Manitat, Drew Fairservice as well for joining me. I'm Josh Goldberg. Jays Talks brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Go for the sweep tomorrow. We're on the air at 7 o'clock, 7:05 first pitch. We will talk to you then.